As our panelists come up, I'm going to introduce them. We already all know Maggie Murphy, who was on our last panel, so we're glad that she's joining us for this next one. We also have Magali Suarez Candler, who is the founder of Suarez Candler Law. She is board certified in immigration and nationality law and is in her 35th year of legal practice. Previous to starting her own firm, she was at Catholic Charities in Houston, and then at Tyndall and Foster, and then Foster Quan. We also have Lakshmi Nair joining us. She's a partner at Nair and McIntyre, located in Dallas, Texas. After several years of volunteering for nonprofit agencies and working for large immigration law firms in Texas, she started her own immigration law practice in 2000. She focuses her practice on complex family-sponsored immigration cases, waivers, removal defense, and citizenship. So please welcome our three speakers.
Yes, Magali's coming. Yes, she's here. Hi, everyone. Just while Magali gets set up.
Thank you. I left my notes. I was not coming up here. Thank you so much. Well, before we get started, we want to let you know that this panel is about when things happen that you really sometimes can't even prevent, even when you've done everything that you possibly can. Now, interestingly, we will have ideas for you to try to avoid these things, but this happens. So we're going to help you with issue spotting. And we also will try to offer some solutions for things that can happen and that have actually happened to all of us on this panel. Now, if you've got questions, please bring them up to us during the presentation, okay? Thank you. Well, okay, this is a mess. Now, if you all know this picture, this is from the show Schitt's Creek. Have you all seen it? We thought it was very appropriate for our panel when the spit hits the fan. David enters the U.S. on a tourist visa in 2018. He meets Patrick, a U.S. citizen, soon after he enters and overstays. In March 2021, David is caught shoplifting at Ross. He's transferred to ICE, and a notice to appear is served. David marries Patrick in June 2021. The notice to appear is filed at immigration court in October 2021, and his hearing is scheduled for January 2025. In September 2022, David, pro se, files a concurrent I-130, I-485 with USCIS. In July 2023, he's scheduled for his adjustment of status interview. At the interview, he truthfully discloses he's in removal proceedings. USCIS approves his adjustment of status and issues him a conditional residency card. David now consults with you. Now he looks for the lawyer because he has a hearing before the immigration court in January 2025. Well, this is a mess, and we've seen things like this happened. We think that perhaps if he'd consulted with an attorney, obviously, before he filed the adjustment of status, we would have probably told him USCIS doesn't have jurisdiction over your case. And USCIS made a big mistake here. They didn't have jurisdiction over his case. Now, Lakshmi and I have been discussing earlier scenarios where some attorneys may have filed the adjustment of status with USCIS purposefully, if they were doing it. But I really don't recommend it. Although, Lakshmi, if you don't mind, do you want to mention what it is that some attorneys have thought when they did this?
Sure. So this isn't something I would recommend either, but I know some attorneys have filed adjustment of status applications when somebody's in proceedings, but they file it with USCIS because the hope is they're going to get that case terminated. And so what they're trying to avoid is a situation where they file the 485 with the court, perhaps to get the person their work permit, and then the case gets terminated, and now you have to get USCIS to process that 485 application that they've already feed in for the court. And so they're filing it with USCIS to try to just get that receipt notice and get the case going with USCIS because they're hoping it gets terminated. But if it doesn't get terminated before USCIS grants it, then you have this situation.
Well, and I think that there may be a little bit of an ethical issue there, even though that's not the intention, I understand. But USCIS never had jurisdiction over the I-485, only over the I-130.